Genesis, the third chapter. We still in the spirit, right? The story about the movie Kidnap is that there is a game that the mother and the child plays, and it's a form of hide and seek. Y'all remember hide and go seek? You know, one person hides, they stay put, and then the person counts to whatever. One, they put count to 100, 1, 10, 9, 10, 20, 30, 40, 60, ready or not, here I come, right? And they go find the person. Well, this mother and son play a version of that. How many remember hide and seek? Okay, good. How many folks under 18 remember hide and seek? Okay, all right, good stuff. How many remember tag at least then, right? Because tag, you know, if you was a little fat kid, you know, you stay the person all the time. Don't look around, y'all. Don't look around. All right? I ain't always had a six pack. Let's read this verse real quick. I said in the first service, and my wife looked at me a little different. She loves me. But I grew up in my neighborhood. We used to play another version of hide and seek. That's right. We used to play hide and go get it. And everybody's laughing. You know they know what hide and go get it means. Hide and go get what? I was just trying to paint the picture. It's because hide and go seek took on different forms. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate it as well. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Next verse, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Everybody say hid themselves. From the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Final verse. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Adam replied. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Today we're not gonna play hide and seek. Today we're not gonna play tag. But I think God is calling for us to stop playing. Marco! 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 I wanna take a thought from our subject, being in God's presence. Draw closer in time with God to Marco Polo. Bow your head, pray with me real quick. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for flooding this atmosphere with your presence. We pray that your word comes and destroys every yoke that the enemy has set out for us. Father, we pray that you have your way in this place today, God. I pray, Lord, that you bless your manservant as he delivers the word of God. Father, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart is acceptable in your sight. You're my strength and you're my redeemer. We say it in your matchless name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Somebody give God a hand praise. Come on, don't pity Patty. Give God a real good praise. Hallelujah. There's something about the footsteps of a father or a parent, period, when you're doing something you're not supposed to do. I remember when getting up for Sunday mornings, it seemed like Sunday mornings came always so fast. And I don't care, Monday through Saturday for school, you know, we'd get up. But Sunday morning, it seemed like that pillow felt so good. It's like you just find that spot. I didn't want to get up. And I still to this day hear my father calling out my name, Carlos! Yelling up the stairs, Carlos! Yes, yeah! It's time to get up. Okay, I'm up. What do you think I'll do after that? I know I got a few more minutes, right? Because he's downstairs and he can't see me. And I went right back to sleep. But lo and behold, I hear him about 45 steps from the edge of the stairs down to, come down to my bedroom. I hear them size 11s. Boom, boom, boom. And I'll jump up out of the bed and try to hear if he get dressed and, or, you know, he'll bust open the door. You up? Yes, sir. I think some of us are like that when it comes to, you know, the presence of the Lord. It's like, as long as someone is watching, Holy Spirit, you know, come flood this place. And I think it's just like my father calling out my name and hearing his footsteps. It's so easy because as soon as he shut that door and he would use the shower upstairs and he would go into that shower, I hear that door shut and I hear the shower water turn on. I know I had a little bit more time and I'll jump right back up in that bed and get me some more. And as soon, and we lived in an older house, and as soon as you turn off the water, you hear that little water pump deal, poosh. And as soon as I heard they would wake me up, I would jump up. I want to be a little bit farther this time than I was last time, right? So last time I came here, you was pulling up your pants. So by now, I should have at least a shirt on. Marco Polo. I believe that even little things like that develops a cycle or a pattern of disobedience. I want to talk to you for a moment about the cycle of sin. Because sin just never, you know, just happened. It just happened. Nothing ever just happens. First thing is I want to talk about in the cycle is we typically start off in the blessings, right? The blessings of the Lord make us rich, add no sorrow. Everything's going, you know, well. Come to the Lord, came to the altar, receive my life. Things are going well. I just got a job. You know, wife doing good, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everything's good. We're living in the blessing, all right? Then something happens. A choice has to be made, and then we either choose one path or the other path. One path is obedience, the other path is disobedience. And when making this choice, it's not always easy. Because God, I mean, the Spirit of God will have you do something, you know, the Bible talks about, and I believe in Ezekiel, but it talks about the valley of dry bones, and the Spirit of God carried us out to a valley of dry bones. Now, I'm living on the blessing on the mountaintop. If you give me a choice, I don't want to go down to the valley low. I just want to experience the mountaintop experiences. The Bible says after Jesus was baptized, right, he came up out of the water, and then the Bible says he was led into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. There's a choice to be made. Blessings moves in to disobedience. Then the next cycle is discipline, all right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life, through eternal life through Christ Jesus. All right? There's some discipline. There's reaping and sowing principles on this earth. And also the kingdom of God is administered through sowing and reaping principles. There's a discipline. I reap what I sow. If I jump off the building, the law, gravity, I'm hitting the floor. Amen. Discipline is imputed. Next thing you know, we move into confession moments. So now, you know what? I failed. I messed up again. All right? All right, all right. Confession is good. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So confession is made. Then, we're talking about the cycle of sin. Then repentance happens. So now repentance don't mean to say I'm sorry because I'm caught. But repentance means that, you know what? I need to do a 180. You know, I'm tired of bumping my head here. You know what? I need to try. This path leads to death. I need to, this path seems like this is the route to go. Repentance. Then the next one is deliverance. Yesterday at CrossFit, we were doing some exercise. You're talking about Pastor them doing pull-ups. That was part of our regiment yesterday at our class. And between sweat and 200 and something pounds, I'm going to give you all the other something that I'm working on to release. There's a lot of weight up on there. And I got this big old blister that just came open. And it's just so sensitive. Well, now I'm in a recovery stage or a deliverance stage. And it just not going to happen overnight. This is not going to heal overnight. I'm putting ointment on it, right, which represents the oil. You can preach on that too, huh? Right there. put ointment on. I asked my wife, should I cover it? She said, you know, let it breathe. Just put ointment on it. Just try not to use it as much, blah, blah, blah. It's good to have a doctor in the house. Ooh, baby, I think it hurts right here, too. I'm still in this area, y'all. I'm trying to make it back to the blessing. But deliverance is a process. It's not going to happen overnight. And sometimes I think we get stuck on being delivered. Then, hey, I repented. Everything's all right. Well, you know what? There's a process. And that's why we come to church. That's why we go to Bible study. That's why we volunteer. That's why we allow God to continue to work on us. Because we will never arrive to where God has us to until we make it to the kingdom. And then it becomes a cycle. Blessings. Well, yep. Now, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. The reason why they're new every morning, because you're going to enter into another choice that your flesh is going to say one thing, and then your spirit man is going to say the other one. And 9 times out of 10, if you ain't not walking in the spirit, as Paul talked about in Galatians 5 and 16, it's not on our scriptures, but you can write it down. Walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. The flesh want to cuss you out sometime. The flesh you want to, okay, I've been delivered from cussing, I'll fuss you out then. I still give you the rubberneck. That ain't no sin. Next thing you know, that ain't enough. Next thing you know, I want to put my hands on you. Well, now it's a disobedience. Then the cycle just repeats. Well, then let me talk about choices, because I believe that in every area of life, there's a choice to be made. Adam and Eve had that choice. God provided hundreds of trees that will provide food for them. But of this one, you tell me I got all these ones to choose from, but then there's this one. It's kind of like telling a child not to do it, right? The very thing you tell them not to do, what are they going to do? Now, I tell you, don't stick your hand in there. Don't do it. Okay. It's hot. Don't touch it. Not until sometime until they actually get that curiosity up. It is hot. You see, it is hot. Let's talk about the path of sin, the sin path. I'm excited about this message. Got me sweating already. There's a sin path, and I believe that the sin path, meaning that when you're faced with a choice, there's a path you're going to either take God's way, or you're going to take your own way. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is what?
Death.
Death is what the scripture says. There's a way that seems right. You know, I'm 42. I done lived life. I can make this choice. There's a choice to be made. Once disobedience happens, once you choose something that's contrary to the word of God, disobedience sets in. Then the next deal is exposure. So now I'm naked. I'm exposed out in front of you. Now exposure leads to shame and guilt. Well, you know what? I don't want nobody judging me, because if they knew, blah, 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 I got to cover this up. I got to hide. I messed up. So no longer am I going from blessing, disobedience all the way around, from shame, exposure, shame, into confession or into repentance. But now I'm in shame. Now I'm going to go into fear. I'm scared now, because what if they don't choose? What if they don't allow me? What if they don't love me? What if they don't? Fear sets in. Then the next thing is we begin to hide. We begin to hide. We're not talking about God hiding us. We're talking about how I got to do this myself. Because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. And there's no God that will ever forgive me. There's no God that would ever use me. See, that's why they're blessed, because, you know, they got it all right. They weren't raised like me. They didn't grow up in a house like this. You know, I didn't have nobody. I had to look out for myself. And we begin to sing this long song and this long list of comparing your life versus someone else's life when you don't have no idea about. All right. I think I preached a message last year, maybe the year before, talking about, you don't know me like that. Or I think it was a question of, do you know me like that? And so therefore we begin to compare. This is why. And that's not the essence. God is saying, look at the mirror. Don't look at me. I'm talking about don't look at me. It's a sin path, disobedience, exposure, shame, fear, then it leads to hiding. Point number one is, what are some ways that we hide or cover up. The Bible says they hid themselves. Well, the first thing they did before they hid themselves is that they were naked and ashamed. They was always naked, right? But then their eyes were opened and they realized, okay, because I fell, man, we are naked. We got to do something to cover this up. What are the ways we cover up today? They sow fig leaves in the Garden of Eden. Well, we're not in the Garden of Eden no more, ladies and gentlemen. We at 2525 Taylor Avenue. These are ways that I want to mention that we cover up. We use religion. I participate in the sacraments. What are you saying, Brother Preacher? I take communion. I've been baptized. And if they have feet washing, I let Pastor wash my feet. Right? It's the three sacraments, right? Next one is gifts and talents. Well, there's no way that he can be a sinful person because they sing on the worship team. He plays so well under the anointing of God. There's no way that he could be some sinner like that. They volunteer. They serve on the deacon board. They run the sound. They do all this on the production team. There's no way. Next one is money. Now, for those who actually have some, well, I'm one of the top tithers in the church. I tithe $10,000 a month. It's nothing you can say. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't say this first service, but I don't feel bad when I'm driving and I see people with little signs. I don't necessarily feel bad. The Spirit of God really has to, say, Carlos, move. Now, I'm talking about me. Whatever you do and whatever your convictions are is yours. I don't. And the reason why, I trust in the system that God has set up, and I believe in giving, and I give to the church, and I allow the church, and I trust this ministry to distribute the gifts accordingly. Now, that's mine. For wherever that's worth, you can take it, tuck that away, or you continue to do what your convictions are. But even that doesn't substitute a relationship with God. Even that won't cover up my sins. Next one is my career or my titles. Well, we work here. They work for this area, and they work for this company, and they're very prestigious and whatever. Well, whatever your title. Well, I'm an elder of the church. I've been ordained and baptized and all this. Man, don't nobody care about what your titles are or who you work for. None of that will cover up the sin in your life. Y'all all right today? E, the next one is education. I don't care how many degrees. I don't care how many acronyms you have behind your name. Whether it's an MT, PMP, WHT, whatever, PhD, all that D's. And none of that will cover up. Final one for the day, I'll talk about it. I know we can add to this list, but even my final one, which I kind of alluded to early, is working in ministry. I don't care how much we serve in the church. It will not cover up sin. It will not cover up missing the mark. That's all sin is missing the mark. There's a bullseye, and I'll be honest with you. We can stand back here. We can shoot all day long. Even the best of them will miss the mark. And none of this list, and even the list that you may come up with, will ever cover up sin in our life. The Greek word for what Adam and Eve did, they hid themselves. This is what they did. The Greek word is called kaba, C-H-A-B-A. Everybody say kaba. Kaba means they withdrew. Sometimes we worry about where this person is or how this person is doing. We haven't seen them in a while and blah, blah, blah. There is a withdrawing that's taking place. You say, well, you know, they're not necessarily living in sin. I'm not here to say whether they are or they're not, or if I am or what I have been. But all I'm saying is that when God has called us to a marvelous light, because when the light, and this light is bright too, when this light is shining down upon me, I am exposed. I'm naked and exposed before you. And when you become naked and exposed, and when your sins are on display, when people can type your name in Google and bring up history up on you, when you're naked and exposed, flesh wants to do what? Withdraw. And we withdraw. Now, some of us just run and we hide. But I believe this translation is saying that it's a progression of, you know what, it's going to go a little bit further. I'm just going to stop attending this one. Well, 11 o'clock, folks, I don't like going to that service because, you know, they'd be all up in your business and there's just too many people there. I'm going to go to this one. Well, I don't want to go to this one. I'm going to go over to Outer Park. Well, I'm going to go over to this one. Next thing you know, you're at, I'm just going to watch it at home. And there's nothing. We thank God for you if you're joining us today, watching us at home. But there's nothing like, I just want to put that disclaimer out there. But there's nothing like communing and coming together and having fellowship with the brother and sister. Kaaba, everybody say Kaaba. Kaaba. Meaning to draw back. If you would, go to, missing some of my points, but go to the Gospel of John, the Epistle. So go to 1 John. I'll have it up on the screen. But before we do that, my second point was that God, you don't have to put it up there, you can leave this where it is that God sees everything. This is my second point. Sometimes when we're naked and ashamed, when we're fearful, all right, the flesh wants to draw back, it wants to hide, it wants to cover up. But can I let you know that God sees everything? Draw the blinds up, God sees everything. Turn the light out, God sees everything. Can you make it darker? God sees everything. First John, the first chapter, fourth verse. And these things we write to you that what? Your joy may be full. This is the reason why I'm taking this time to do this, is because I want your joy to be full. There's too many of us who come to church week after week, fast after fast, year after year, service after service, worship song after worship song, and we have no joy. But I'm putting myself out here. I'm exposing, I'm uncovering, I'm writing these things that your joy may be full. Okay. Next verse. This is the message which we have heard from him. Who him? God. And declare to you that God is light. And in him is some darkness. In him there is a little darkness. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Next verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Here's the thing that I like about this verse. All right. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk drawing back, withdrawing and hiding and covering up darkness, because anything that you hide is not in the light. It's not exposed. We lie and do not practice the truth. Next verse. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light. Because the thing about it is, and I tell folks, okay, you know, if you're going to tell me something, don't tell me at the table. You can't tell nobody, huh? Well, I'm obligated to have pillow talk. And I'm just going to say on pillow talk, you know, I'm liable just to... For those who don't know what pillow talk is, it's a talk you do with your spouse, your wife, your husband, you know, and, you know, you get to nitty-gritty. It's not a like, hey, baby, guess what happened? It's, you know, things just come out. You know, she didn't start rubbing on my head. Yep. Yeah. Whew. I wasn't supposed to tell you this, but. And I always tell people, it's like, okay, before you go there, just so you know, I'm obligated to have pillow talk, you know, it's just the way it is. So if you're going to tell me something, we're going to have to walk in the light on this one, meaning that I'm not going to hide no foolishness. Come on. Don't tell me you think about robbing a bank and don't expect me to say something. Don't tell me you carrying a gun to church and don't expect me to say something. Are y'all with me? Yes. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. No wonder that there's a detachment from folks. Well, we go to the same church, we'll never speak. You know, I'm just saying that, but perhaps we don't jive because, you know, man, I can't get down like you getting down, man. You high too much. You know, you up and down like a roller coaster, man. I rode those when I was kids, man. I don't get on roller coaster no more. I need an even playing field. We have fellowship with one another first. horizontal, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some sin, but from all sin. The blood on the cross cleansed us from all sin. Well, what about this? Because, you know, if folks knew this, from all sin. Well, let me say it like this. When I was 5 years old, I want to say I had my first kiss. By the time I was 6 years old, I had my first open mouth kiss. Y'all saying, ooh, okay. How you get here? There's a lot going on. By the time I was 13, I was having full-blown sexual intercourse. And it didn't stop there. By the time I was 20 years old, I was in the military. I was stationed over in Yokosuka, Japan. And I got into some trouble, some real bad trouble, and couldn't hide anymore. And I'm just trying to let you know how the progression continues to go. I was stationed in Japan, and I was convicted. I was sentenced to 3 years and 8 months. And this is not going to be the story where God came in the courtroom and confined him, and I was set free and all that. No, he said guilty. And he said 3 years, 8 months in federal military prison. And I spent 3 years and 8 months of my life, I'll never get back, behind bars. And although God covered me in there, I'll never get those years back based off of decisions that I made. Because there was a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof. But how many of you know, even when you take a path, there's something about God's presence and his power that will preserve you and bring you back around and say, you know what? If you choose to do it my way, I'm still gonna give you another chance. I'm just waiting on you. And when you stop being a knucklehead and choose to do it my way, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I will allow the floodgates to pour out into your life. Let me come back a little bit, because some of you still ain't there with me. Because I want to talk about, sometimes we have an opportunity to cover. You know, I'm just going to give you a little part, you know, but I ain't going to tell everything. And when I came home in 2001, me and my mother was having this discussion. My father had passed away, and my grandmother passed away that following year. So 2000, I lost my dad. And that same year, my mother had gone through cancer surgery, gone through chemo. I'm still on my last leg, and surely God will, you know, surely God will allow me to be delivered up out of prison, go home, and do all these different things. Serve, of course, good time, but served my full three years, 8 months. And 2001 came around, the last leg, I lost my grandmother. She passed away. And later on, heading home, when I got out in September of 2001, 4 days after 9/11, and I'll never forget filling out job applications. And normally filling out job applications is so simple, because you just go through, put your job history, blah, 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 and there it is, right? Well, there's that little question that some of you probably run past now that you either overlook, or some of you got to answer honestly. And then there's another, you're faced with another choice, right? And I was faced with that choice, because it says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And then blah, blah, blah. If you press yes, what do you got to do? Please explain. So now you got to do this. I'm doing this. Flip it over paper. Can I get another piece of paper? Matter of fact, just bring the whole ream here, you know. Because we want to cover up, we want to explain. I got to tell you. And out of all the jobs that I've had since being home since 2001, out of all the career, you know, I've changed career paths so many different times. And God has blessed me to be talented somewhat, to be a jack of trades, say all of most trades, and a master of none. Several things I just pick up very fast. And every job that I had that I didn't do, full disclosure, I made a choice to say, you know what? Well, it ain't like they're going to run it anyway. No. Some I got hired with, didn't stay on them very long. No advancement. It just stuck. But the ones that I gave full disclosure on, I want y'all to catch this now. I ain't talking about a misdemeanor. I'm talking about a felony conviction. I'm talking about the ones that I gave full disclosure on. Didn't try to go in there and soften the blow. This is what it is, nitty gritty. This is who I, you know, this is what I did, but not who I am. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Full disclosure. Yeah. The ones I've excelled on, the ones I've had people work underneath me who had far greater education and even experience for that, found favor. I'm not talking about with my boss or my supervisor, but I'm talking about with the head. And even the job that I'm on now, I'll never forget walking in there, and I was like, you know, man, I've already been on my job for 10 years. You know, things are going great. My name is known throughout the National Urban League. And so, Lord, if this is you, Lord, I just need you to, I need a sign. And I hadn't filled out my job application yet. But I know one of the principals or the owners of the company said, hey, man, I think you should apply for this. He said, I don't do anything with the hiring. He said, that's how I have it set up. But I think you'd be a great fit for this. I think you should pray about it and move forward, you know, with it. So when I seen that question on there, I was like, man, I haven't filled out one of these in about 10 years. Man, I don't want to. Woo, I got to relive. And all that stuff start coming up again. And so immediately what I did was I was like, you know, I'm just going to take it there with me and let's see what they're talking about first. Got in there with the HR person, and she was like, you know, just so you know, they've let us know about, you know, some things that happened about 20 years ago or so, but letting you know that, you know, we're not here to talk about discussing any of that. Have you finished your application yet? You know, I said, you know, it'd be done by time, you know, before I leave, no problem. Well, we're interested in knowing more about who you are. I understand that the owners may know you, but from HR standpoint, we just want to get to know you, make sure it's the right fit for you and you're right fit for us. So tell us about your experience. When all that, and I don't know really, I'm kind of paraphrasing some of the stuff, because when she said, I'm not concerned about what you did or what happened, I'm more concerned about how you can help our company grow. It was such a level of freedom that, well, let me loosen up my tie, okay? I really screwed up. Well, as you know, my name is Carlos Norris. I'm from Springfield, Illinois, and I served 8 years in the military. I have an education in computer science. I can do X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I've seen within the next 12 months, I can help your bottom line provide, blah, blah, blah. Very, very good. Now, can you just give me three double? They was ready to offer me, you know, this is what your offer is. And I looked at that. I said, oh, sweet Lamb of God. All right. All right. Now, I'm saying all that to say, is if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship with one another. The reason why folks can't get through to you, whether it be on a job that you're playing, you can't get through on the earth until you walk in the light as he's in the light. You can have fellowship with one another, right? That his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're too busy trying to cover up and cleanse it with ourselves. I can take care of this instead of allowing the blood of Jesus to cover it. And I get to this next part. Is my third point is the enemy can only operate in darkness. You may have some friends that you know. I know I have some. You turn on them lights, we can go over their house, and them roaches take off. And if your neighbor isn't laughing, you're right. There's nothing wrong with the roaches. I just don't want them in my house. The enemy can only operate in darkness. The enemy is anyone that stands in the way of you and what God called you to do. We wrestle against flesh and blood, but if you stand in the way of me and my promise, you may be an enemy today, and we have a problem. The enemy can only operate in darkness. I didn't say this in the first service, but I do want to, y'all know the movie 8 Mile? Yeah, I feel say, y'all ain't that say. All right, so in 8 Mile, a movie about Eminem, one of the most turning points or the prolific points of that movie that I love, and I can watch it over and over and over again, because he's sitting there, and he's halfway defeated, right? But he exposes his enemy or takes away the enemy's weapon because they're in a rap battle. He does it because everything that the enemy's going to say about him, what does he do? He says it about himself. You're right. I am white. I am white trash. I did grow up in a trailer park. And he says all this stuff that the enemy was saying, and when it was the enemy's turn, do it for Johnny, you know. For some of you who have seen The Outsiders. The enemy can only operate in darkness, but when you choose to expose it yourself, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say. There's no, call them. Yep, I had folks call the CEO. Did you know Carlos, blah, 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 and this is his background? Yes, we're very aware, very capable. Oh. Well, Jay, did you know, you know, have you Googled him, baby? Yeah. The enemy can only operate in darkness. To this day, you know what? That's why coming to church, that's why being in the community and all that sort of stuff, I can do that. It's not that I'm prideful. It's not that that I'm cocky. It's not even confident in myself. But knowing that, hey, what's exposed is exposed. And now I can let God do the rest. Now I can stand boldly before you saying, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I better calm down. I wonder if that organ works. No. Next point. The Greek word for Hebrew, Greek word for hide in Hebrew, we talked about here, which is Kaaba, is what Adam and Eve did themselves. But it's something about when we allow God to do it, there's a different type of word that's used. Safen. Everybody say safen. And if you're careful enough, you can it could be like soften the blow. But it's spelled T-S-A-P-H-A-N, Safan, meaning to treasure up or to protect. What Adam and Eve did is their sin and their shame and their guilt caused them to go backwards. Amen. And so they hid themselves. But when you have sins that are out before people and naked and exposed, and you allow God to hide you, it's a safen. Safen. Give me 5 minutes. We're going to go there. Give me 5 minutes. Psalms 27. We have that. Psalms 27 is my final verse. My final point would be that God protects what's most important to him. I'm not saying that I'm just so important more than you are. But what is man that you're so mindful of him? Don't you know that you're important to God? That God loved us so much that while we were yet doing our dirt, yeah, I know he's going to mess up and I know he's going to do a big piece of stupid real good, but I'm going to die for him anyway. I know she messed up and she did a big piece of stupid, but I'm going to die for her anyway. God protects what is most important, what's most important to him. Verse 1 of 27 chapter says, the Lord is my light. Yep, I'm a dark, got some dark issues and things going on, but when I allow the Lord to come in my life, the Lord is my light, and he's what? My salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Next verse, it's going to get better, y'all. When the wicked came against me, yeah, when they called, when they talked about you, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. Some folks don't come along, and if you think that it's just one thing that you're battling with, the enemy always comes in legions. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this will I be confident. Oh my God. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Last verse, we got to read this. For what? In the time of trouble. If you believe that, I know things are going good right now, But in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. The hide I'm talking about is in a secret place that God has established for his people. Not a hide in that regard, have me hiding back here, but now I can come out. Yep, I'm naked. Yep, that's what I did, but it's not who I am. I serve a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus. In the secret place, God has a secret place in his tabernacle. He shall hide me, and here's the thing I love. He shall set me up on a rock. I believe the rock is Jesus. I believe the rock is a solid foundation. So when I am sick, when I am going through a tough time, I can stand on Jesus. Man, y'all done got me really hot. I think it's a good time for us to shout hallelujah. Now just a second. I know we don't go here very often, but like when I make a point, all right, we're gonna make a bomb, bomb, and then we cut it off, right? I'm the minister of music, so just give me 5 more seconds. We gotta get it right though. So, you got the right sticks? Okay, you sure? He pulling out some new sticks. Hold on, just a second. You ready? What key are you in? He's in C. So on C, everybody hits the C. 1, 2, 3. We just had to get it together because there's a next move and a next shift because we're talking about what God did for you. And because I was exposed and I put myself out here, so I'm saying, Lord, well, there's some things I want to disclose. I want to let folks know that, you know, I ain't been saved all my life. Lord, I ain't did everything right all my life. And I just pour out my sins out here. He said, well, son, don't worry about it. I hid all that stuff. I covered it up. I put it under the blood. And if you've got some things you want to expose, allow the Spirit of God to cover up your mess. Cover up your foolishness. Are y'all ready? We'll get there in a little bit. But when we think about God's presence, that's why it's so important. Listen to this. Listen to this. Even musicians, listen to this. That's why it's so important to walk in the light and expose the enemy and just put it out there. Because natural and logically, it'd be like, you know, well, if I tell too much, you know, it may, you know, you're right, they probably won't. But there's something about the Spirit of God when God says, if you do it my way, I'll cover it. And when they see you, they'll see my blood shed for you. When they see your mess, they won't really see your mess. They'll see, well, look where the Lord has brought you from. Look what God has done for you. He's brought you out of darkness into a marvelous light. I just got a little excited, that's all. But why don't you stand on your feet and give God a praise? Come on, give God a real good praise. Come on, give God a good praise. If God has done anything for you, he's covered all your sins. Take me back to Holy Spirit, because we're welcoming God's presence in here. And I just want you all, Elder Gita gave such a great illustration last Sunday. We want God's presence, and sometimes, just like when me and my wife, we've been gone and gone, you know, she has a career, I have my career, which is very busy. I'm involved in ministry at the church. And sometimes we need to step aside and just focus in on each other, right? And it's challenging sometimes because sometimes when we get together, we have to turn off the world. And it takes us a moment to, you know, before she reminds me that you're not at ZDI no more. You're at home. You're not Carlos' project manager, you know, you're my husband. And there's certain things that you have to transfer the atmosphere. And when we go to the presence of the Lord, I know we don't always have time to be in our secret chair, close the door and all that sort of stuff. We gotta do what we gotta do. But I believe that God wants us to make specific time. Just like my wife, I just want to, it's me and you. Put your phone away, put your laptop, iPad, put all that stuff away. Dim these lights down a little bit. Put some nice soft music on. And let me know that you love me. Let me know that you adore me. And there's no one else in this place, not even our little doggy Romeo. I'm the guest of honor. And because I know that about my wife, bring it down just a little bit. Holy Spirit, you are well. So when I know that about my wife, because, you know, I know my wife, it's the same way with God. God wants you to slow it down. He don't want the fast and the furious all the time. Be easy. Be easy. My mom is a go-getter. My dad was such a cool cat. It's cooler than the other side of the pillow. Y'all know when that one side is hot? It's cooler. Dad's a real smooth guy, and sometimes God just wants us to slow it down for him. And I'm not just trying to say that we're singing a song because God wants us to do a slow song, but slow down. You know, the going. I'm going to fit God in wherever. Well, I got a little extra time here. A couple of Hail Marys and thank you, Jesus. Slow down. Take your time with him. I guarantee you he'll show up and just reflect on him covering up all your mess, providing ways out of no way, doing it again and again. Every time you mess up, God just welcome you back. I love you. My mercies are new every morning. You missed the mark today. My mercies are new every morning. I messed up again, Lord. My new mercies are new every morning. The presence of the Lord is such an intimate place. Such an intimate place. Intimacy requires touching. Mary was so close to Jesus, she was at his feet. She could reach out literally and touch him if she wanted to. Martha was so busy, no matter what, she couldn't touch him. And some of us, our hands are full with what people think about us, stuff that's happened to us. Let it go and come sit at the feet of Jesus.